Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from East End Backyard, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Crate.
Hey, back on the box as we roll through the first portion of the program. Starting hour number two. It's just flying by like the breeze here. It's just flying around. Feeling it. You can't just feel it. You can hear it. That's the way we like to do things on ESPN. As we get you into the second hour of the program right here from Edo, Pat. East End. East End Backyard. That's where we're at in Edo. It's not just a sign. It's an experience. That's where we're at. That's where we're going to be all the way till 7 o'clock. We are honoring Fred Fowler for all of his fine work here at Gal Media, and the unbelievable run that the Blitz went on that I think people forget about. And I think it's one of the things that's been one of the topics that I most want people to remember when AJ left, and now with Fred kind of expanding his horizons and doing so much more. That run that the Blitz went on was spectacular. And the fact that they were number one for the amount of months that they were number one, and when they weren't a flagship station and they didn't have the backing and the power support marketing-wise when someone new came onto a different station in town and it was billboards and it was commercials and it was all these different things that the Blitz didn't have, didn't need, and they still continued to do everything that they continued to do. That's where I think that enough people don't kind of step back and say, don't worry about what happens going forward before you pay homage to what's been done before us, because without them, there is no us, and we aren't in the position that we're in, regardless of what you think of us today and going forward.
So I wanted to ask you, you know, the line between protecting, survivors of domestic violence or sexual assault and where you protect the player, because
I'm trying to protect the Blitz.
We talked about the
okay, go ahead.
We talked about the Ezekiel Elliott situation,
yeah,
and how it seemed that he kind of got railroaded by the league. Then there's the Tyreek Hill situation.
Now, let's also not forget, in Ezekiel's case, there was more than one incident.
No, but
the one that they were getting all the attention was in the St. Patrick's Day parade?
It was supposedly a woman that he had dated said that he beat her up.
Okay, and there was also the video from the St. Patrick's Day parade
where he lifted the girl's shirt.
Her and, yeah.
Right, apparently that was consensual. They just didn't like it because he did it and he's the NFL. But with the case where the girl said he beat her up, it turned out he didn't have a fight with her. She was stalking him, followed him to a place, got into a fight with some other woman in a parking lot, and that girl beat her up. And then she went and said, no, it was Zeke. And then she tried to get somebody to say, oh, yeah, no, I saw it and it was Zeke, and that person wouldn't do it. Then there's a Tyreek Hill situation where, the fiancé, I mean, I don't know if they were married or not married yet at the time.
Significant
other,
regardless.
But she admitted after the fact she was angry with him and therefore said things that weren't necessarily true.
But then when they started checking about the health and safety of the child and did he have a broken arm.
Oh, he did have a broken arm.
I know,
arm.
And all these other things. It's kind of like, okay, well, regardless of the mood you were in for why you said it, there seems to be more than a little truth to what you said.
And then it turned, they went and they investigated and they found out that Tyreek Hill was not responsible for the kids having a broken arm and they were having
issues. But you heard the voicemails.
But voicemails.
Between the two of them, not the one that she left for the league or that she turned over to the league.
When people are angry, they say really hateful, nasty stuff. So I wanted to ask you all that, but now there is some new information. Mark Berman, Fox 26, just tweeting out in the last 10 minutes that he has sources that said that there is a Harris County grand jury investigation being used right now to determine if there is enough evidence to file criminal charges against Deshaun Watson. And that right now, the person who is in charge of human trafficking section for Harris County, that they are actually right now sending out subpoenas for the investigation. They don't want to comment on anything because, you know, you'd never comment on a ongoing investigation. But for a while, it's been, okay, so where is the police investigation? How come we haven't heard anything? How come they haven't, you know, brought Deshaun in for questioning? How come we haven't seen anything about that? It looks like that process is about to get started.
So, Pat, then if that is indeed the case, and also with the Sports Illustrated interviews of the two women, the one woman was the first to call Deshaun Watson out. The second woman was one of the latest two that had been in contact with HPD that is not part of the Busby group. Now you have this. I say all that to say Major League Baseball, the minute that they heard that this was being brought up about Trevor Bauer and that they were investigating the possibility of a grand jury and they needed to do further investigating, what they did immediately was, that's it, go home, stay away from the team. Until it's over, you ain't coming near. And also because the dumbass Dodgers said that they were willing to pitch him that weekend. But they did the right thing. You hadn't do the right thing if you're the NFL from the time all of this started to surface. I guess what you were hanging your hat on was the fact that all of them were civil. None of them were actually a legality issue. And so you felt like you were in a better place. Now with this being said, with Berman tweeting this out, isn't it now time for them to do the right thing yet again that they haven't done and just send him home?
At this point, I don't see how you can't.
Right.
And it does seem the Texans have been waiting for Roger Goodell to bail them out. Hey, can you guys do this so we don't have to? I mean, essentially, whether the Texans, you know, and David Mulugeta come to an agreement of, look, Deshaun's going to stay home, we're not going to fine you, and during the season you're going to stay home, you're going to get paid, but we're not going to play. We want you to stay home. We don't want you around the team. Or the NFL and Roger Goodell puts him on the commissioner's exempt list so that he has to stay home and he can't be around the team, but Texans are still going to pay him. I mean, it's six on one half dozen the other. At this point, there can no longer be any logical reason for either the league or the Texans, or both, to not act to remove him from the day-to-day around the team. There's no more... There was never a win to it, but now it's just all a massive loss. And
how many times have I said that to you? No one, the Texans, the league, Deshaun, no one's winning here. The players in that locker room that I also referenced to you are getting tired of having to address it, that everybody said, no, because they got a job to do. They're not going to be that worried about it. Well, obviously they are too. And again, it's the... And there's a whole lot of terms I'd like to use that I can't use when I'm on the radio. But it's the cowardly attitude of the Texans that basically says, as long as it's on them and not us, so that we don't look bad, then we'll be okay with it. But we don't want to be that hyper ultra bad guy that says, you go home, we don't want you. Because then it's going to look like we don't really want him to be the quarterback of our team. But we really do. But he said he didn't want to be here. And then there are these 22 other things. And so it would really be cool if you would just tell him to go home for us. Because we don't want to have the bad look. Same thing they did with J.J. Watt. I mean, at some point, put your big boy pants on and be a professional franchise and do the right thing.
There is entirely too much junior high school in this situation. If you're the Texans, why the hell do you give a damn one way or the other what a handful of people may or may not think of you? If you don't care how many of your fans are down on your organization right now that you burned through your entire ticket waiting list and got told no by 30,000 people about buying tickets, if that isn't the great wake-up call to you of, hey, your fans are already down on you, half your fan base is divided between its loyalty to the team and its love for its star player.
You think it's half? I think the numbers are completely different now. I think that, and we've talked about this as well, but I think that the minute that this team that this city that was willing to stick with their quarterback. Let me say this. If it happened in a different order, if all of these allegations came up and he hadn't asked for a trade, then I could understand Houston and the blue-drinking Kool-Aid fans of the Texans giving him the benefit of the doubt, waiting till all the verdicts are in, waiting till the dust settles, and saying that's our quarterback. But the fact that he did the James Harden way of first saying, I don't want to be here anymore, and as long as Cal's here, I can't be, and then all these other things came on as well, I think that number went way down in terms of the percentage of this city that's willing to support Deshaun Watson. I think it's below 20%.
Well, you would think and maybe hope it is. I mean, it is something I don't quite understand. Why, if you have a guy who says he doesn't want to be here, and is facing 22 civil suits and maybe 10 criminal suits, why do you want that guy on your team? Why do you want that guy around your players? Why do you even really want to – why do you want to wait for him? The only reason – this is the one thing the Texans are getting right. The one thing.
I got a question for you, okay, because you've been throwing them at me. I got a question for you. For as much – because we're talking about the popularity of people within this city, the support Deshaun would have had versus what he has. Bill O'Brien, we all know, is – universally hated in this city. But would Bill O'Brien, for as much as he knew his future was riding on number four, if this whole thing happened under Bill O'Brien, on Bill O'Brien's watch, would he have already sent him home?
I think he would have.
I kind of do too.
Because we know Bill was a maniac about having control. Everything had to be his way. And he had to be the only one with a message. Nobody else is allowed to have a different message. So with his desire to control every single narrative and the way that they tried to lock everything down, yeah, I think he would have sent him home.
I do too.
In fact, I think Bill would have tried to fine him.
I think because the other thing that plays into all this is, if you're a head coach, general manager, and you're able to trade the best receiver in football without any kind of, as I can tell, sign off from your owner because he was busy adding to his stuffed animal collection and having online video game battles with Toro, otherwise, I don't know an owner in sports that's going to say, that's a great deal for us, go do it. So if he had all that power and he was pulling all the punches and making all the moves, I think he's still a control freak enough that he would have put the hammer down on Deshaun to some degree.
I think he would have tried to suspend him.
You think because of the save of the money?
I think that definitely would have been a part of it. And also, Bill O'Brien, extremely petty. No petty like sports petty. I just gave you all that money, and now you did this to me? Yeah, I'm clawing back everything I can because, you know, now you're on my poop list, and you're going to be sitting in the doghouse forever and ever. The one thing, the one and only thing the Texans are getting right in this is not selling Deshaun 5 cents on the dollar to somebody for like a third-round pick just to be rid of him. You're going to have to sit on him. You're going to have to eat some turd sandwiches along the way, and you're going to have to wait until everybody gets their pound of flesh, per se, of does he settle, is he charged, the NFL renders their punishment, and all that stuff is finalized, and you have certainty of when he can or may return before they can possibly trade him to maximize his value. It's the one and only thing they're getting right. Everything else along the way, yeah, they're botching it every chance they could possibly get. We're out at East End Backyard as we celebrate Fred Fowler, his final day as the afternoon drive show host here on ESPN 97.5. Come on down. It's a great event. We're going to have lots of giveaways today. We're here till 7 o'clock on the Press Box, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from East End Backyard. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Back on the box, rolling through our number 2 3-hour program. Patrick Creighton, myself, Aaron Raybould, here at the East End Backyard, where a cast of thousands is gathering to honor Fred Fowler as we brave the heat. We're told that Justin Stapleton's weather forecast has the Doppler with all arrows pointing to rain on us. That's not good. As Aaron pointed out during the break, the sun is shining above us because Pat's here, obviously, and he lives life cleaner than white milk. But at the same time, there's storms abound around us, and we just don't know if any of them will actually fade our way.
Is that not par for the course for this year? I mean, every day it rains.
Not every
Last day. Year we had, what, a month straight of 100-degree temperatures and all our grasses were burned out. And this year, it rains every freaking day.
I turned my sprinklers.
And, you know, instead of having the lawn service come every 2 weeks, they're there like every 8 days because the grass is 2 feet high in a week.
Oh, my God. You've got issues. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you pay these people for a reason. Just suck it up already, all right?
My God. I see them a lot more often this year. Last year, I didn't need them to come. I didn't have any grass.
Do you wave and speak, or you just tell them, hey, do the grass. Don't talk to me. I'm Patrick Creighton.
I bring them some water and
lemonade?
Stuff. Bring them some cold water.
All right. That's fine. Okay, so we were talking about the Texans' Deshaun Watson situation. Look, you know what? That's why I keep beating this drum until someone that's not dumb takes the bull by the horns literally for the Texans and does the right thing. And again, people are talking about, well, you can't just send him home if he's healthy. Well, if he was 100% healthy and didn't have 22 legal issues and more now added to the mix, hanging over his head and other issues, okay, maybe then there's the Players Association getting involved. Players Association ain't getting involved in this because you know what the most important thing is for Deshaun Watson? He's getting paid.
Listen, that's not an entirely accurate statement, the idea of, well, he's healthy, so you can't send him home.
I fought it the other day.
You certainly can.
Yeah, I fought that the other day.
Well, it's an agreement between the team and the player. If they agree for him to stay home and they won't fine him, because, look, the only reason Deshaun is here is not to get fined. If they agree, look, we're not going to fine you, why don't you stay home, they are certainly within their right to do that. And they have always been within their right to do that. And that's why the whole thing is absurd. The idea that, oh, the Texans, they're waiting for the league, for Roger Goodell to put him on the exempt list. When Roger Goodell ultimately puts Deshaun Watson on the exempt list, all that happens is Deshaun's no longer around the team and he still gets paid. What is the difference between Roger Goodell saying, you're on the exempt list, go home, they're going to pay you, and the Texans saying, look, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on around you right now, why don't you go home and we'll pay you? What is the difference?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing to me from a Texans perspective is there's no other way to look at it other than they don't want to be the bad guy because you're going to end up paying him. I know you'd like to not pay him. I know you'd like to try and bury him in, you know, suspension money that you're getting back and fine money and all these different things. But it's not reality. It's not going to happen, at least not this year. So just suck it up, Buttercup, and realize you're paying him either way, but you're giving your team a disservice every single day that he's got to do that walk of shame into the practice bubble, that everybody's got to be there and say that they're there for the 2021 Houston Texans when you know damn well the only thing that they want to know is Deshaun here? Is he playing free safety for the scout team? Or is he actually taking reps with the quarterbacks? Is he hurt? Because that's the other thing. If the league's not going to do it and the Texans aren't going to do it, at a certain point, like he's done twice already, he's going to make his way over to the training table going, oh, hammy, calf muscle's killing me today. I don't think I can go. So it's just a distraction that no one needs. And it's an embarrassment, again, for a franchise that has been nothing but an embarrassment for the last how many months? Over a year now. And as you put, because there is no, for as much as Mr. McNair had the infamous comment that echoes in the heads of Texans fans and players and people everywhere, now that he's gone, who's running anything over there? There is no clear-cut, Jamie's gone, Jamie Roots, with Robert McNair gone and Cal too worried about who's got next in Donkey Kong 3. There is no one running anything over there to get the right decisions made. Amy got away. Amy at least was a skilled PR person that could understand this is what we got to do. They're trying to pull these gimmicky BS moves like they pulled the other day at practice about, hey, we're going in regular season mode. Just because we don't want you filming it anymore. No, you don't need to do that and get caught at it and look like dumbasses. All you need to do is the right thing and say, Deshaun Watson, you're no longer welcome here until this all works itself out. Yes, we are paying you. Go home. Work out somewhere else. Whatever the case may be, we're going to focus on our team this year. I don't know why this is such rocket science to them.
I always felt that Jamie's resignation from the team. Look, Jamie was Bob McNair's right-hand man from day one, before they even had an actual team on the field. Jamie was his right-hand man from day one. And for Jamie to basically be like, you know what? I wish you the best. Peace out.
But Jamie had a disdain for Bill O'Brien. It was oil and water every day. It was on full example every time that they were in the same room, or a lot of times it was on full display in front of the staff numerous times. So the fact that Bill left and they did the whole Twitter pictures with the roof open and the sun shining, which was just kind of a microcosm of the bigger issue that, hey, ding dong, the witch is dead, Bill's gone. You would have thought that that would have opened the door for Jamie to actually really enjoy being there again. The fact that he left after they got rid of Bill tells you about who they hired to replace Bill and what they did subsequently after Robert McNair passed away.
And that would be one personal spiritual advisor to...
It doesn't end there, but it starts there. The head coach that they hired, who had never gotten offered a head coaching job in his 16-plus, however many years he was in the league, and whatever age he's at now. You know, it's Casario's the only guy he gave the benefit of the doubt from because of the pedigree he comes from under Bill Parcells. I mean, not Bill Parcells. Under Bill Belichick for all those years. You have to learn something through osmosis or otherwise that I give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's been exposed, Jack Easterby's track record. We know what David Culley has been, and it's never been someone that says, screams head coach. You look at all these different things. That's why Jamie left. Because he could see this thing, and as head of business operations, you're going to take some of the blame. Fingers are going to start being pointed at you. Your next job may actually sit in the balance for how people look at the situation with the Texans, whether fairly or not. So I'm heading the high road, and I'm getting out now before I get tagged with some of that.
And all of those things, as you just very well explained better than I did, is further example of how far down the hole the Texans have fallen in their management, their ownership, their structure in the building. These are things that don't inspire confidence in anybody. And if you could go through all of these things and still not feel like, wow, you know, we probably need to do something about our image, why are you worried about, well, you know, we don't want to be the ones who send Deshaun home. We want him to come to us and say he wants to go home. We want the league to say, hey, look, you're going to have to send him home. Why are the Texans so afraid to make the most obvious move that they could possibly make?
Are they afraid, Pat? Or are they just dumb enough to believe that there's hope? That they're doing this? This is the only thing I can think of. And it's only, and I know it doesn't sound like a highly educated organizational decision for other teams in all sports. But because of who we just kind of highlighted is running the show over there, do they do this with the slight chance notion that, you know what, he's showing up every day, he's starting to make some new friends within the team, he's talking to the young receivers, he's working with the quarterbacks. Maybe at a certain point he goes, you know what, this place ain't so bad after all. They've treated me well. Maybe I don't want to be traded. Maybe I'd like to stay here. Because as much as that is the biggest bunch of poppycock in the world, I could see the Texans holding out hope, and that being one of the reasons internally while they go, hey, every day he shows up, there's a chance.
Bob McNair's thing was, you know, he didn't want to have players on his team that were an embarrassment to the city.
Or had a record. Or
how are we talking about the Texans wanting to reconcile with someone facing 22 civil suits of sexual assault, potentially 10 different criminal cases of sexual assault? Why would you even think about operating with hope? And I don't disagree. I mean, I think they might be. It's a possibility. But why would you want to have hope for that guy? Why would you want him under center? I wouldn't want that guy as a part of my team. I love Deshaun Watson. I interviewed him Super Bowl week when he was coming out of college. We talked about him being drafted by the Texans, about him wanting to be here. Nate and I sitting next to each other at the draft when they took him, and Nate punched me in happiness so many times I think I had 5 concussions. We were so happy to see him here, following him his first camp, and how, oh, there's no way they could really start Tom Savage. He's so much better than Tom Savage. We're now 4 years later. I don't want him. I don't want anybody,
but that's
what he's got going on.
I keep regurgitating. This is what we said last week, the week before, this week, whatever the case. The one thing that I also said was, the same way the minute that James Harden said he didn't want to be here anymore, bye. I almost said a bad word again. But bye. I don't want to see you ever again in a Rockets uniform either. The same way if it's – and again, the other thing is be a man enough to come forth and say what you really feel. I don't want to hear from your agent. I don't want to hear rap lyrics on Twitter and try to decipher them. I want to hear from you once and for all that this is what I had said all along. This is what – and then move on. I don't want them here either.
Both sides have handled this as poorly as possible because neither one – has the guts to just address it. We're at East End Backyard. The Falcon is in the house. We're down here till 7 o'clock. We'll have lots of giveaways later on in the show. This is the Press Box, ESPN 975. Next big thing, gotta hurt. Ooh.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East End Backyard. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Back on the box Friday, Fred Fowler Friday. Someone asked me if it was an F Fred Fowler Friday. No, it's an F Yeah Friday for Fred Fowler here at the East End Backyard. Patrick Creighton still finding it hard to believe it's actually in Edo, and he thinks it's just a sign on a storage building. But we are here, and we are with good purpose, as we told you about. The man himself is in the building, Fred Fowler, and we're watching the weather report, checking the Doppler. Inside or outside, we're going to be here all the way through 7 o'clock and a whole lot more. So if you've been a blitzer your whole life or for most of it or part of it, and you just want to stop by and say hi to Fred, and we're going to be here as well, then that's exactly what you should do. They're getting prepared for the post-game festivities already, as you can hear the sirens lining up. Engine number 9 has come down Creighton's line a few times to blow the horn in honor of Fred Fowler, and we roll on.
I don't feel like black sheep. I don't think we qualify as black sheep.
What are you talking about?
Never mind, you missed it.
I did, because I don't get that.
The one time I actually... Anyway.
I'm just honest enough to say I don't know where the hell... Because that's not you.
The one time.
So at least we can get to some positive things, because we've been hammering this Texans thing enough.
Puppies!
But, I mean, seriously, it's totally easy. By the way, it is a dog-friendly environment, which is awesome. And they have the mini dog park back here, and some beautiful dogs are out here playing. And can I just say this, by the way? The story came up this morning. If you're that family at Disneyland yesterday, and you decided that it was a good idea or you make some BS excuse, you went to the park, and they found the receipt on the dashboard at 11:58. At 5 p.m., a woman found their dog still in the car in the parking lot. They had to call the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and they basically said the dog had less than an hour to live.
Oh, my God.
They did not press any charges, and they let the family take the dog home.
Did they at least tase the family relentlessly for like an hour?
I mean, maximum strength dumbass. How in the world, what do you do? You're on your way to Disneyland with the family, and you go, oh, shoot, the dog's here. Well, we don't want to turn around and take the dog back home. He'll be okay.
This is why I hate people and I like dogs.
God, I guess.
I don't.
Just the dumbest people ever.
First of all, how do you at least not take away the dog?
Like, there was an empty water bowl in the car.
How does nobody break the window? Because if I'm there and I would literally sit right next to it for about 30 minutes just talking to the dog, and if, you know, 20 minutes go by, I'm getting ready and I'm pulling out because, I mean, I carry a pocket knife, but it also has a glass break on it. I'm immediately, like, 29 minutes and 30 seconds, I'm breaking that window and I'm trying to get that dog out. And then I'm taking it home because I got a new dog.
Yeah. Windows cracked? No. I mean, it's amazing the dog survived that long.
Maybe they live in the van. Maybe that's their actual mobile home.
Doesn't that count as animal cruelty? They couldn't arrest them on that.
That's what I'm saying. Well, there's so many different charges that could have been filed. The fact that these people walked away with no charges and the dog, at least take the dog away.
Who was Tyrann Mathieu, because he's a huge animal lover. He locked himself in a car, I think, right in the middle of training camp. I think it was 4 years ago or so. And he video streamed the whole thing of like, hey, this is what a human goes through. Now think about if I was covered in fur and you could watch. And he had temperature sensors all over the car and like all over himself and stuff. And you saw after about 5 minutes sitting in the car, he was miserable. And I don't remember how long he lasted, but finally when he tapped out, he was like, no, you should never put an animal through this. You shouldn't put a human through this either, but definitely not an animal because they're covered in fur and they have no way of, you know, controlling or cooling themselves off.
I don't spend 30 seconds in the car with the engine off and the windows closed. Like, no. So if I'm in the car, the engine's running and the AC is on. When I hit the button to get off, I'm getting out. I'm not staying in the car. It's freaking hot. And then to leave the animal in there, how many hours?
Well, true story from my household. You know how many dogs we rescue in a year. And Lisa comes home from work, and she's rescued a dog off the side of the road. And the dog's in her car, and she is in our driveway, and the air conditioning's on, and the car is running. And she goes inside, and the dog stands up on the edge of the door by the window to see, like, where are you going, and are you going to be back? Hits the window, and the window goes all the way up, not down. And now the dog is living life in air conditioning in the car with the keys. And Lisa goes, what do I do now?
Open
and I'm
the door.
Like, what you're about to do right now is to put a very large expense on my charge card because the only thing you can do now is to break the window because I had the spare set. But that's what you do. But you don't bring a dog to an amusement park in the middle of. All surrounded by asphalt that does nothing but attract the heat. And reading the story, too, it's like, how, as the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and I realize you probably have a whole lot to do, but you don't feel any need to press any charges or at least take the dog away and go, you're not fit
and
to have this dog.
In California, of all places, that's the weird part. Because this is California where they are, you know, you could probably be tried for murder at that point.
I think they should be tased. Relentlessly for like a couple hours. Just keep tasing them. Make them bounce.
How does Lisa not have a fancy ass car with just the start button?
I mean, this was a different car.
That car didn't have a start button? It had the actual, you have to stick the keys in the ignition?
Yeah, it was one of the, it was an older BMW SUV.
Okay, well tell her now that she can just carry your keys in her pocket next time that happens.
Right. No,
it will never lock you out.
No, she's aware of that now. But okay. I mean, she's calling her dad because we were on the air at the time first. And I'm like, your dad's going to be more blunt about it than I am because I have to come home tonight to deal with the wrath. But your dad was like, Joel's got a couple of ball peen hammers and hammers in the garage, right? Well, just or in the drawer. Just get one. That's where you're headed.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
And make sure you go to you find a way to distract the dog at another window so you're not, because the dog is going to be excited by you coming back. You got to make sure you're not breaking the window closest to the dog.
And good on the person that found the dog, that stayed with the dog the entire time. That said, she was the one that found the parking receipt that said it looked like the car had gotten there just before noon and it was 5 o'clock. Bad on the Orange County Sheriff's Department for not being able to do anything or stepping up to do anything. But they were, you know, nice enough to take pictures with the dog that they posted on their social media. Get the hell out of here.
That's always the most important thing. Just,
I mean.
This is the second time this week you've tried to co-op now, hey man, bleep that. I just want you to know that.
Who, me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's an honor of
first,
the
it was you were
Fred
mad
Major.
The other day. Now you're mad about
someone's
the dog.
Someone's got to do it.
I mean, you can take it. You can have it. It's not going to happen anymore.
I'm telling you, it's the lack of caffeine.
He's
irritable.
The hygiene associated with sharing a bit. Nope, just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. I know it's there, but I don't think it would be prudent.
I mean, if you've got the Falcon here, you can ask. That was his brainchild. You can ask him if he'll give it to you as a parting gift.
Falcon on the move. Falcon on the move.
Your Falcon sound.
I can't
is
do it today. My voice
worst.
Is shot already.
No,
I don't
it's
know
just
why.
Horrible to begin with, but
thanks. Appreciate it.
God,
look at this. We even have extra headsets.
Yeah. Come on now.
What is up, fellas?
What's up, Fred?
Hey. Yeah, you can have it. It's all yours.
No, you know what? I don't think Jeremy Branham's going to be the kind of guy that's going to get into the F bomb.
Oh, hey man, bleep that.
But yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm not opposed to
he might.
Yeah, I mean, in honor, but I'm not going to do it like a regular.
I mean, he's only been married, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
I have no idea.
Give it time.
Yeah,
he'll have
a year, you're miserable. So,
he'll have more.
So hey, I guess you guys are going to move inside for a bit. So for people coming out later, I think most whatever's going to hit us is going to happen pretty soon. So we'll move it back outside for the blitz, hopefully. Because there's plenty of room out here. There's not so much inside. But if it starts raining and we're out here, we'll just pop inside for a bit, go sit in the car and listen, come back. And it'll be fun, man. And just want to say good luck to Joel, man. People think Joel and I don't like each other. I love Joel. Joel's a great human being, man. And looking forward to your new show.
I appreciate it, Fred. No, really, that's the misconceptions that are out there when the listeners think they know it all. But definitely, that's why, I mean, we want everybody to come out here today and say hi to Fred and realize, you know, he's not dying. He's not dead. He's just, you know, he's moving on to bigger and better things, and that he's still going to be a part of all the shows that we do. So we appreciate Fred, and we're friends, and we want you guys to be Fred and friends again today.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to popping on your show here in a few weeks after I take a couple of weeks off and just do whatever. I'm going to just exist for a couple of weeks and work on our website, but may pop off to Vegas for a couple of days. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm just going to actually take time off.
Which we don't do enough around here.
No, but... anyway, didn't mean to hijack the show.
No,
but
absolutely.
You may have the Hey Man bleep that whenever you want it.
So. Aaron wants me to take it.
While you go on your somewhat sabbatical, how much poker is going to get played? When you're not working on the site, how much poker is
you
going to
get played?
You
were talking about that tournament in Vegas, weren't you?
Yeah, well, there's one here in town at the end of August at Prime who used to do business with us that Jerry Bowe put me on. I would say there's a 95% chance I'll be playing that one. And I've already booked my flights for Vegas for the senior event and the tag team event, which I'm going to play with AJ Hoffman. And my plan is to use those as satellites. If I make 10 grand in either one of them, I'll play the main event.
There you go.
So, yeah, there will be some poker play. Plus, we've got our regular game that started back up that we do once a week. So it's there'll be some poker in my future for sure. And it'll be fun to get back to playing big tournaments, man. It's something that I love. It was supposed to be last year. Some little pandemic thing happened. So
won't go away.
No, it won't. And that's my only fear is that this thing gets bad again and they have to delay the World Series, which would suck because, you know, I'm ready to get there and win some money and get on some TV.
There you go. That would be awesome as well. But Fred's been awesome. He continues to be awesome. And it would be a good thing if you guys would stop by and honor the awesome today at the East End Backyard, which is where we're at. And hopefully, whether it be inside or outside or a combo platter of the two, we're going to be here, and so should you. So we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to keep rolling on. Hour number two, 3-hour program. Then we turn it over to
those combining breaks.
We're going to turn it over. We're going to get to the break. We're going to see how long, and we're going to continue to roll regardless of how long the break takes. How about that? We'll be back with much more of the Press Box, ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East End Backyard. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
The man has the facts accurate. It is Pat, Joel, and Aaron, a cast of thousands gathering at the East End Backyard as we are celebrating Fred Fowler today on the last day of the Elder lineup as we get ready to start anew on Monday. Crystal's here. She couldn't be happier to be here. She's geeked about Monday.
She's not here.
She's actually thinking about baking a cake in full just for me to celebrate. When she gets here, is that what I'm saying? Okay, good. Yeah, so let's switch gears a little bit.
She's mad at me right now.
I don't care. I'm mad at her. So there, it's even. All right, so we just got news during the break.
Breaking news.
Astros favorite, dare I call him Astros legend, Marwin Gonzalez, has been DFA'd by the Boston Red Sox. If you're an Astros fan, are you interested, Patrick Creighton?
I think you have to separate nostalgia from today. You know, the guy in 2017 who had a career year hitting 303, 23 homers and 90 RBIs. That guy, that is not who Marwin Gonzalez is today. Over the last two, well, last season and this season, so we're talking about 130 games. He's hitting about 206 with a 283 on base and an OPS under 600. This is not the guy that you remember when he was here. He's not anything close to that guy anymore. And
it lends itself to ask you how much the cheating scandal really helped him, because with everything that you investigated, with every story that came out, he was one of the guys that wasn't shying away from it, denying it, or saying, I didn't want to do it. He was one of the guys that it was always documented that was knee-deep in it. Now, it got him paid, so he'll probably be set for a lifetime, and so will his kids. But it does behoove you to ask the question.
He is the one member of the 2017 Astros that really had a career year. He's the one guy. So if there is an argument to be made for anyone from that team, having a big benefit from the sign stealing issues, he is the one, because he'd never hit. Before that season, his career high in homers was 13. He'd never hit 300. He certainly never had a 370 on base. He never had anything close to a 900 OPS. He never even had an 800 OPS. Never had an 800 OPS before, never had one since. He is the one guy that you could look at his numbers and say, this is the guy who had a massive benefit from the Astros stealing signs. Mm-hmm. And in the subsequent years, he has fallen off really hard. Now, he's only 32. It's not like he's 37. But he's fallen off really hard. And to me, if Marwin is a 200 hitter with a 570 OPS, you know what that is? That's a minor leaguer. Don't we have enough minor leaguers?
Okay, that's fair, right? But he is beloved in that clubhouse. He has a lot of friends, a lot of guys that really look at him and say, hey, he was part of something special that'll never be forgotten, and we love you. So with that being said, I ask you this follow-up. You mentioned all of his stats, and we know they haven't been good. But is he better than Jacob Wilson? Because if that's the case, simply because he's a good clubhouse guy, and locker room guy, and bench guy, and he can play the multiple positions, and we know what he can do defensively because he's got an arm, he's got a glove, and he's much like a very, very, right now, a very poor man's Aledmys Diaz in terms of all the positions he can play. He just doesn't hit the way Aledmys Diaz does. But if he gives you more than Jacob Wilson both on and off the field, do you take a look at him?
Here is where I'll go with that. If you're talking about, well, I'm going to bring him in on a prorated minor league, prorated minimum contract.
Yep.
And let's say coming back to the Astros puts a little juice back at Marwin. And I don't mean that steroids. I mean, right, he gets a little more energy. I mean, playing in – here's the thing, though. Last year, Minnesota was a good team. The year before, Minnesota was a good team. This year, the Red Sox are a good team. It's not like he's playing on an also-ran and he's kind of checked out, and now he could come to a team that's in first place and feel good and get a little bit of energy back into him. He's coming from a playoff team. I don't know that there might not be any juice left.
And I don't disagree with you, but I know that, you know, Astros Twitter and the diehards, they are never going to forget the home run off of Kenley Jansen. They're never going to forget the Marwin that was such a huge part of everything that they did in that era of Astros baseball. And because we've seen too much of Garcia this year. We've seen too much of the underperforming at the plate infielder. And even Abraham Toro. And Toro. And everybody's going to point to the last four or five games when he got on the home run happy binge with the Astros and then when he joined the Mariners. You're forgetting who Abraham Toro has been the entire time he's been a member of this organization.
And you're also forgetting what is his role going forward. He's not supplanting Alex Bregman.
Right. He's not, and I think their plans are Aledmys Diaz, as long as he still wants to be here and is not seeking out a starting job somewhere else, and he's happy here, he's in their plans to move forward with as well. So that's why we knew Toro was expendable. But you're looking at, just from the standpoint of the clubhouse, the versatility defensively, and I got to believe, just from his experience on the major league level, he's going to put the bat to the baseball and at least make contact. I'm not saying he's going to hit the ball a hell of a lot better, but I would think that just from the chances from an offensive perspective, he's going to be better than either Toro or Garcia or Jacob Wilson.
I don't think we've necessarily seen enough for Wilson, although, look, Wilson's had, before he came here, he had 7 major league at-bats his whole career, so it's not like he's a guy that you could say, oh, well, you know, you got to give him a chance. You really don't have to give him a chance.
I'm not paying him any money, Pat. But I'm saying, if all things are equal, I'm bringing him in because he's got experience. He's seen all the pitchers. He's had playoff experience. He can play multiple positions for you. Defensively, I'll put him up against anybody that you want to put out there of the names that we've mentioned.
Here's the issue you got with Marwin. You are approximately $1 million away from the tax line, according to Spotrac. If you have to bring in anybody because of injuries, and you've got to add somebody to your 40-man roster, and now they have to have a major league contract, mm-hmm. I think the Astros are very cognizant of that tax line.
I believe you're right.
And if you bring in Marwin, you are now taking, $300,000 out of that million on a prorated deal. Do you feel like there is enough upside to Marwin to justify, well, if we bring in Marlin, there is going to be a move that we cannot make later without going over the tax?
You said, if I'm talking about half of it or more, I'd be more concerned. Because it's prorated, if it's $100,000, $200,000, if I know that he's going to be a better glove, he's going to be at least as good a bat, if he can play, you know, he can play the multiple positions and he's going to be a clubhouse guy, I'm fine with it.
I don't have it.
You're almost done with the regular season.
If you're about Marwin versus Wilson or Marwin versus
now, if you're taking
Garcia, like I don't have an issue with that because, yeah, you know what? Marwin probably gives you at least some kind of upside.
If you're getting Robertson off the Olympic team, now it's a different conversation.
And that's where your conversation comes in, because if you make that move now, you don't have $1 million.
If you're
going to
make a move for Robertson, it's got to be sooner rather than later anyway.
And if you give him $1 million and it's prorated, it's, what, $400,000 that you're gonna pay him? So it's, you get closer and closer, and I think they're really gonna be sharpening those pencils when they make those decisions. When they made the decision at the deadline, hey, you know what? We can't get Scherzer. We're not gonna go over. We're not gonna go chase after Craig Kimbrell. We're gonna make, you know, smart, savvy, financial
Which
smart
they
moves, and they did, and they did very good in that department. But now, if you're talking about going, I think that's probably the bigger part of the equation is, when it comes to their money to the tax, not so much Marwin over whatever other 25th guy.
All right. If we were, I mean, only halfway point in the season, I'd worry a little bit more about the million left. But I think that because it's everything's prorated, if it makes your team better at this point, you've got to explore all options. I mean,
I'll make this quick because we got to go to break.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from a business standpoint, if the time comes and goes and nobody else wants him, you offer him a minor league contract, put him in Sugarland. You know how many people are going to buy tickets just to go see him because of nostalgia? And then if you need him, then you call him. But if nobody else offers him one, you say, hey, man, we'll pay you $200,000 to go sit in Sugarland, and we'll rake in $1 million over people just wanting to go, and we'll release another set of replica rings just to get Marlon Gonzalez there.
And then
get
when the Mets find out
land.
What the Diamondbacks did, Josh Reddick goes back too, and now suddenly it's the 2017 Sugarland Astros for everybody's viewing pleasure. How about that? All right, 2 in the books, 1 to go. Final hour of the show comes up next. Keep it right where you got it. We're going to be here till 4. The Blitz, I'm going to say, for one more show. It's going to be here till 7 and a whole lot more. So you need to come by and see Fred and enjoy the people that have been so loyal to us right here at ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing.
Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save